Good morning. It's March 28th and this is your daily brief in Australia News. Here's everything you need to know. In a recent development that's raising eyebrows across the sports world, key figures at the Sydney Swans have found themselves at the centre of a controversy involving allegations of cocaine abuse within the Australian Football League, AFL. Sydney Swans CEO Tom Harley and coach John Longmire have stepped forward to categorically deny any knowledge of such allegations, despite claims supported by evidence from former club officials and a player's father. The heart of the matter lies in the AFL's approach to drug use among players, particularly its illicit drug testing program. While the league's boss has denied a widespread drug problem, the existence of a three-strikes policy under the current illicit drugs protocol, which is under review, has been acknowledged. This policy is designed to manage and mitigate drug use without immediately penalising players, aiming to balance the league's tough stance on drugs with the welfare of its players. However, this approach has not been without its critics. Concerns have been raised about the transparency and fairness of the policy, noting that very few players have been stood down for drug use. This has led to a broader discussion about the culture of drug use within the league and the effectiveness of its policies in protecting player health and maintaining the integrity of the sport. The AFL's challenge is to navigate these concerns while ensuring that its policies serve the long-term interests of athletes. As the AFL reviews its illicit drugs policy with input from player unions, the league finds itself at a critical juncture. It must address the allegations and the perceived bad culture surrounding drug use, ensuring that its future policies not only deter drug use, but also offer a supportive framework for player welfare. In the wake of the devastating 2019 to 2020 Black Summer bushfires, New South Wales State Coroner Teresa O'Sullivan has stepped forward with a comprehensive set of 28 recommendations aimed at overhauling the way bushfires are fought and investigated in New South Wales. This initiative follows a meticulous two-year inquiry, marking a pivotal moment in the state's approach to disaster management and climate adaptation. The inquiry itself was a monumental effort, examining 46 fires over 78 days of hearings and digesting the testimonies of 780 witnesses. The scale of the tragedy was immense, with 25 lives lost, over 5.5 million hectares of land scorched, and an estimated $1.88 billion in losses. These figures underscore the critical need for the recommendations put forth, which span improvements in aerial firefighting, incident management, and collaborative fire investigation among various agencies. At the heart of these recommendations is the call for enhanced training for aviation and incident management teams, better tasking decisions for large aerial firefighting craft, and a more empowered role for fire investigators in seeking information from police. Notably, the recommendations also suggest a closer examination of strategic backburns and the necessity of police notification if certain fire scenes are not examined as requested. The proposals are not just about improving response mechanisms. They aim to address systemic limitations in the bushfire risk classification system, thereby enhancing preparedness and the ability to adapt to the changing climate. Moreover, in light of the tragic loss of three American firefighters in a crash, specific recommendations focus on the safety protocols and decision-making around the deployment of very large air tankers. While the recommendations have been generally welcomed, some residents have voiced concerns, particularly regarding the inquiry's stance on controversial backburning practices. Despite these criticisms, the overarching goal of the recommendations is clear: to foster better coordination and collaboration between government agencies, communities and stakeholders, ensuring a more resilient response to future bushfires in the face of climate change. Alice Springs, a town now under the spotlight, faces a state of emergency following a series of violent incidents. This has led to the implementation of a two-week curfew for those under 18 in the Central Business District, spotlighting the urgent need for solutions to youth crime. The situation has escalated to the point where calls for federal intervention are growing louder, with voices across the political and social spectrum suggesting a national approach to address the crisis. Marion Scrimgeour, a notable figure in the conversation, has proposed that the National Cabinet should convene specifically to formulate a response to the alarming rise in youth crime in Alice Springs. Adding to the chorus, Jacinta Nampijimpa-Price has called for a comprehensive long-term plan to tackle the issue, suggesting that the involvement of the Defence Force could be part of the solution. This indicates a recognition of the severity of the situation and the need for robust measures to ensure safety and security. Mayor Matt Patterson has expressed openness to any form of support from the federal government, highlighting the local administration's willingness to collaborate on effective solutions. Meanwhile, there's a growing demand for stricter accountability measures for Indigenous organizations receiving government funding, suggesting a need for transparency and effectiveness in the use of resources. Despite criticisms of the Prime Minister's engagement in the region, there's a defence of his presence and a consensus building around the need for a serious, sustained response to the crisis. This collective call to action underscores the complexity of the issue and the necessity for a coordinated, long-term strategy to restore peace and order in Alice Springs. In the face of potential delays and political uncertainties, the International Olympic Committee, IOC, stands firm on the progress of the Brisbane 2032 Olympics. This story unfolds amidst concerns about the venue plan and the possibility of a change in Queensland's government. The Queensland opposition is eyeing the creation of an independent infrastructure authority, aiming for a comprehensive report by February 2025, should they come to power in October. Despite these challenges, the IAOC's confidence remains unshaken, asserting that there's ample time to get the Brisbane Games facilities up and running. The committee is not considering intervention at this stage, opting instead to monitor the situation closely. This approach underscores a wait-and-see strategy, focusing on the developments as they occur rather than preemptive concerns. As the world watches, the IOC's stance sends a clear message about its trust in the processes set in motion for the Brisbane 2032 Olympics. In a sobering reminder of the critical importance of reliable emergency services, Telstra CEO Vicky Brady has stepped forward with a public apology after a technical fault led to a significant outage of Australia's 000 emergency call service. This incident had dire consequences, affecting over 100 individuals in need, including the family of a man who tragically passed away. The root of the problem was traced back to an error in Telstra's backup process, coupled with a communication glitch, resulting in 127 emergency calls failing to connect due to incorrect phone numbers stored in the backup database. Compounding the issue, a manual error in entering an email address caused further delays for some callers seeking urgent help. In response to this critical failure, Telstra has committed to a series of corrective actions, including a software update slated for early April aimed at fixing the fault within their calling line identification systems. Vicky Brady has reassured the public that significant improvements have been made to bolster the reliability of the 000 service, ensuring it stands ready to support those in crisis. Amidst this fallout, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA, has initiated an investigation into Telstra's adherence to its obligations as the emergency call service provider. Adding to the concerns is the impending switch-off of the 3G network, which raises questions about the ability of nearly 1 million mobile phones to connect to the 000 service. Furthermore, Optus finds itself under scrutiny as well, with the ACMA investigating its compliance with 000 service regulations following recent system failures. This series of events underscores the paramount importance of maintaining a fail-proof emergency communications infrastructure, spotlighting the ongoing efforts and challenges faced by Australia's leading telecommunications providers in ensuring public safety. This has been your daily brief in Australia News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.